This is the Real Royal Family Podcast with your co-host, Valerie Wright. And we're here to take back your crown and the jewels that are on it. The jewels of your life, your joy, and your purpose. Only God's love and power can conquer trauma. Now, this is not virtual reality. It is spiritual reality. It is not a game, but we are going to treat it as a challenge to destroy what is destroying you. And God's word says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Let's get it. Get it. Get it. Welcome back to the Real Royal Family. And you have two hosts here, and the senior host, the executive producer of this show, The Real Royal Family, is the Holy Spirit, and I am your spiritual Harriet Tubman, also known as Valerie Wright. So the Holy Spirit is not just the executive producer of this show, I'm the senior partner of this show, but of my life. The Holy Spirit is not just the truth. The Holy Spirit is actually reality. You hear people saying, oh, I'm speaking my truth. There is no my truth. It is the truth. There's only one truth, and that truth is based upon reality. So when it's reality, that means the thing that doesn't line up with what the Holy Spirit says and teaches us and guides us to do, that means you are living in an unreality. It means you're living in a lie, and it means that you are living in fakeness. And this is what the Real Royal Family Podcast and the realroyalfamily.com is here to do, is to get you out of the lies and the traps and the deceptions and get you walking on your royal journey back to who you originally are made to be by Father God, Jesus the Son, and the wonderful Holy Spirit. So thank you for coming back. So on the last episode we did, who are you? What are you? This episode is, why are you? And in parenthetical, it's, are you thriving, surviving, or drowning? And what are you doing about it? So why are you? And what are you doing about it? So the principle of this show is obedience. And the weapon is the treasure of your heart. So both shall determine why you are and what you are doing about it. So ask, what do I do? And now ask why. So here's an example. Let's use prayer as the example. So we're going to compare it to then and now. So we're going to use prayer and we're going to compare it. I'm going to use my prayer life then and now. So I have a great prayer life now. But I'm going to use then and ask why, and now and ask why. So you'll understand where the traps come in. So did I have a prayer life then? No. Why not? I didn't know what it was. And now, do I have a prayer life? Yes. And why? It's because I know what prayer is. And I'm not going to go into what prayer is, but what it does is it gets you on the journey. It gets you back into your right place. It is a form of warfare. It's a lot of things. And there's different types of prayer. So then and now, once again, prayer. Why didn't I pray before? I didn't know how. Do I pray now? Yes, I know how. And then there's also different types of prayer. So the type of prayer that I do now is not the type of prayer that I did a year ago or 3 years ago. And it's definitely not the type of prayer that I was doing when I didn't know what I was doing. So start somewhere. This is why I suggest to you Command the Morning little booklet from Pastor Olukoya. It's a great place to start. So once again, prayer. Why, right? Why didn't I pray before? I didn't have the energy, and I also didn't have the knowledge. But why do I pray now? Because doing prayer gave me the energy. It gave me the results and the knowledge. So when I began to do Command the Morning, Dr. Olukoya, it's a guided prayer that you do during midnight. So those are warfare prayers. there was so much warfare going on around me, but since I didn't know it, I was clueless. A lot of churches don't teach this. This is why this podcast is here. I keep walking into believers who have no idea. They're just like, oh, God, help me. God, help me. I was like, and he's saying, I've already helped you. I've already sent you the answer. He's called my son, Jesus, who died on the cross for you. And then when Jesus came down to the earth, was birthed through a woman, walked amongst us, taught disciples, died on the cross, was planted into the earth as a seed. He conquered hell, led captivity captive down there, showed everybody who's who and what's what, who created this, and he's the one that's in control, and at his name every knee shall bow and tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, still was and is and will ever and ever and ever and forever be. Then he rose and he went back up to heaven. And then he said, if I don't go, I can't leave the Holy Spirit with you. So now the Holy Spirit is with all of us, right? So, because I didn't know, I didn't do it. And then my ignorance kept feeding darkness. And so I would get night terrors. I would have, I forget which one it is, the succubus or the incubus come to me at night. And the same thing was going on with my family members, horrible, like dreams, you know, at night. It was just terrible, like running from witches in my dream from since when I was a little girl. Oh, but they should have just left me alone, and I'm glad they didn't, because now so when I speak, warfare goes into their atmosphere. And then it's not just bullets like when I was used to praying the little prayers that I didn't know. Now it's just bombs, nuclear bombs into the kingdom of darkness. So when I kept praying, I got the energy because the spirit of slumber was no longer allowed to just sit on me. The spirit of oppression wasn't allowed to weigh me down. The spirit of heaviness, they can't come in my atmosphere anymore. And so now I have more energy, results, and knowledge. And so in my prayer before, I used to start and stop. And why? Because I didn't know about resistance. I'm like, why am I getting results? I'm praying. I did this for, you know, I don't know how many months it was when I started and then stopped. And then it was hard to start back up. But again, something happened that really just broke my spirit and my heart. And I was so confused. And so I almost gave up. And then I just said, you know what? I always stop. What if I just dig in deeper? And so what I did is the last time I was like, I'm not going to stop this time. I'm just going to figure out something else. And then that's when I got Command in the Morning. And then that's also when I just started doing so many other things. And then at a certain point in this podcast, we'll do, you know, different kinds and types of prayers. And prayerfully, I will have enough wisdom. But of course, I have the wisdom because the Holy Spirit is here with me to break that down in a way that makes it available to you. But I've also already given you Command in the Morning, which is on therealroyalfamily.com, and also Releasing the Power of the Blood, also for free on therealroyalfamily.com. So there's different ways. And when you start and stop, you give them a way to get into your space, as opposed to always doing it and never stopping. I don't care what I see. I don't care what it feels like. I am destined to win, not if, but when. Because I am in the kingdom that has already won. All right? So whether I'm happy, whether I'm sad, angry, frustrated, afraid, confused, because of who you are and because of who I am, because of the kingdom that we come from, who we belong to, who is in us and who we are in, the answer should never change. So there's a wonderful prophet called Hubert Angel. I adore this man. Well, he's more than a man. But then you're also more than a human too, but you got to get there. Prophet Hubert Angel. I love, love, love this man of God and his ministry. And I love his wife. I love his story. But one of the things that Hubert Angel says, and actually he says a lot of things that I have thought and I have dug deeply for. And then he just gives the answer right then, spits it out. And then all of the knowledge that I would have asked had I gotten that far with the answer. But he's just a fabulous multi. He digs deep. Oh, what a fabulous teacher. But anyway, Prophet Ubert Angel, he asks, when you squeeze orange, you get orange juice. And when you squeeze grapes, you get grape juice. When you squeeze a believer, what you should get and what you do get are generally not what Christ says we should have. So because of the world's miseducation and conditioning, now I'm going back to the real royal family. For instance, Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without arguing and complaining. In different versions says murmuring or disputing. But do all things without arguing and complaining. When we read James, we get many answers to situations here. So when believers are squeezed, what comes out? So James talks about instability. So in James 1, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When you have conflicting ideas, for instance, ideas of purity, and the world says, do it if it feels good, but God says, stay pure. See, the world does not mention to you the consequences of hanging out with wolves, pedophiles, rapists, and narcissists, or people who are just self-interested in themselves. And it takes a while to shake the trauma off. Look at all the victims of P. Diddy, Weinstein, R. Kelly, Russell Simmons, Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein. I no longer have discussions about this with demon-oppressed people, because what they try to allude to is that the person who was hanging around these people so they can maybe get into relationship with a wealthy man or woman or get a record deal is that they were agreeing to be brutalized by hanging out with these people. Yes. Do people want something for nothing? Absolutely. Do people, males and female, want to trade their bodies for fame or position? Absolutely. You can say yes. Now, you could say yes to immorality without saying yes to brutality, torment, or trauma, or rape, or someone taking an advantage and doing satanic ritual abuse on your child. So when you enter, you have to understand these principles here. When you enter the devil's playground, men and women, you are lied to. And you just can't leave. Because when you do leave, you're not coming out the same way that you went in. If you listen to the lyrics of the song called by the Eagles, I believe, the Hotel California, you could check out any time you like, but you can never leave. This means so many things, and that could actually probably be a college course just discussing lyrics. Me and my family used to do that. We went on road trips, and they used to kind of really get annoyed with me because they were like, listen, I'm going to pick this one song, and there's nothing you can find bad about this song. And I'm like, I'm not trying to find anything bad about the songs. What I'm trying to do is show you how something is being called entertainment, but it's really what it's doing. It's entraining you. It's training you. In training you, there's a trapping going on. So you're now speaking the demonic sermon that are in the words of that song, and you're not speaking word. So you're speaking darkness into your life. You are decreeing and declaring that you want to check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. So let's sum that up. So you can enter their satanic worship, their secret societies, or their little dark Kabbalistic groups. You could take their blood oaths. It says you can check out, which means you can become numb. There's many different ways of checking out. You can pass the pain. So you were abused. So now you choose to abuse. You can become addicted off of any number of things. Food, sex, drugs, alcohol, being a menace to society. You can kill yourself. But it says you can never leave. So it's saying you are still tied and anchored to hell. So even when you think you're getting relief by killing yourself or being involved in orgies and polyamory, even though there's nothing loving about those relationships, you just are still going to end up in one place. But the good news is the devil is a liar, because the Holy Spirit is not just the truth, he is the reality. And when you get out of the false reality of the father of lies, then you will know that there is a way out, and you can check out and you can leave. And Jesus Christ is the way out, the only way out, okay? And so there are many who are and were in Satanism, witchcraft, and addiction and trauma, PTSD, and the only way out was, is, and will be only Jesus Christ. So when we squeeze believers and, or Christians, what do you get? If you get arguing, wars, fighting, and lust, that's according to James 4:1. Remember, James 4:1 was talking to believers. It's not talking to the world. So you know what's going on in your church. You know what's going on with people who say that they're believers, whether it's your grandma, your auntie, your dad, your sibling, or somebody who you're dating. James 4:1 says, "Whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not of your lust that war in your members?" When there's bitterness, cursing, and instead of blessing, James 3:10 and 11 says, "Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?" I'll just say it in regular English. Does a fountain spring forth sweet and bitter waters at the same time? No. When you get filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness instead of meekness and saved souls, that's in James chapter 1, verse 21. The book of James is a real compact book of, I believe they say, the entire New Testament. When there's hypocrisy, James 1, 23 says, "For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, don't know your own face." You don't know your own face. Well, that's because you have too many faces. At church, you're being holy and you're doing this and you're dancing around. And right after church, you're going home and you're boozing it up and you're meeting your boyfriend or one of your boyfriends or your girlfriends. And if you're guys, you might be meeting your boyfriend or your numerous girlfriends and not being pure with them. I'll just leave it at that. So in James chapter 4, verse 2, when you have lust, adultery, killing, and self-worship, James says, "Ye lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust." And it says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." People said, you know, don't straddle the fence. You can't straddle the fence. You're on one side or you're on the other side. There is no gray area. So if you are launching arrows of anger and resentment, if you're cursing people out, if you're bitter, you're accusing them, if you are like Satan, that means he's the hand that you have allowed to shape you. And remember our topic now, why? When we are squeezed, when we are hurt or targeted, when we are lied on, do we lash out in anger and revenge? We are imprisoned by our sin and the darkness of our bloodline. Why? We must know why you are, and in parentheses, thriving, surviving, or drowning, and what are you doing about it? So let's go back to last week where we summarized, who am I and what am I? I am wonderfully and awesomely made in the likeness and image of God. I am in the class of a God being. The breath of life is my foundation, my glue, my essence. Therefore, I am in the function and class of a God. So that's what I must do. When I don't see what I want manifested, I must switch my programming and my kingdom. Because you spent more time being trained and miseducated in the kingdom of darkness, you have to consciously learn what we are learning here in the real royal family. Okay? So my words, what my mouth speaks, comes from my heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, says Proverbs 23, verse 7. So you may think you're kind because you apologize and send a text with a little cross, a little heart on it, after you curse someone out or after you're mean to them or after you tell people their secrets that they confided in you and everybody now knows them. But you did mean it because that's what's in your heart and that's who you are. So if somebody is treating you like that, then you have a decision to make. One, you can stop claiming to be a victim, because you are now voluntarily being under that person's leadership, and you're allowing their foot to be on your neck. Or you can sever that relationship. It doesn't matter who it is. The Holy Spirit will help you figure a way to get out or a way to separate emotionally. Stop allowing them to do it. Now, you just might have to stop talking. That's what gray rocking is in narcissism. But you can go to church. You could kiss your dog, but still hate people. You hate you. The people who are hateful towards other people, they hate themselves. They hate their life. And generally speaking, they are angry at God. And that's just the way the kingdom of darkness likes it. Now, you could do something to change, or you could just remain visible and keep getting more entrained, remember, wrapped up and entangled into the demonic spider web that the kingdom of darkness loves that you're in. So instead, you can read Psalm 89, verse 20. And it says, I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. This is one of the ones that I claim. And I don't put David in there. I put Valerie's name in there. And you can go to 2 Corinthians verse 8 and 9. For I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake became poor, so that I through his poverty might be rich. So you don't have to complain about poverty anymore. You now have to speak abundance into your life. You have to know what poverty looks like. You have to kick it out. Ubert Angel has some wonderful books about how to get the demon of poverty out of your life. And you can speak Matthew 6:6-9, which is, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to tell you how I use that one later on. Or you can use Satan's tools, anger, bitterness, narcissism. But when you use Satan's tool, don't look for God's rewards, because wages of sin are death. So you work for Satan, you get his wages are death. You work for God, and his wages are life, light, abundance, joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit, love. You speak God's word, you need to feed on the light in order to get the darkness out of you. And since you've been doing the kingdom of darkness work for a few decades, you're going to have to really figure out how to exponentially magnify the kingdom of light's work that you're doing now. So you might have to add some fasting to it, right? But by the way, you can purchase Spirit King cards. They are beautiful, and they are the word. So you go to therealroyalfamily.com, you go to the homepage, you scroll down, and you'll see the pictures of them, front and the back, and you order here. On one side, it is the scripture that it is, and so you can memorize these, all right? You take one at a time, and you do comparison with you and your loved one, you and your child, or whomever it is. Just challenge yourself. All right, so I'm going to read a few of my cards right here. I have four of them in my hand. I might only read three, but I'm not reading them. I'm declaring them. I'm planting them into my life, and I'm using them to destroy and dissolve all the other words that I have spoken. The only thing that can cancel bad words that I have spoken about myself, about other people. If you speak bad things about other people, about yourself, you repent. And we did some repentance, and then you can go back to whatever podcast that is. But the only thing that cancel out other words is the word of God, is more words. You must memorize the decrees of your kingdom. This is Psalm chapter 68, verse 1. Let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. So when God shows up, the other kingdom must flee. That's why I say, get more light into you, right? Job chapter 22, verse 28. I'm flipping the card over, and now it says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. What is your way? Everything is your way. It's your inside. It's your outside. It's the light that's behind your eyes? What is behind your eyes? Who is looking out through your eyes? It's your work, your marriage, your job, your bank account, your attitude, your hope, your perspective. Matthew 11, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So that's all I'm going to read right now because I'm going to keep going on. So that means sometimes when you are speaking prayer or when you're speaking in tongues, there's certain tongues that you speak that are just rekanta sere shiseke parokoto verekata sese. That is firm. But then there's another way when it's rokoto sere narakaseka rapakata seneki sheto soto parikataka. You can add some claps with it. Rakatasano koba serike shonomoro rakatasatata taroko mbaka serere kaloroboko sejadarakante. So sometimes on this podcast you might hear background noises like car honks in the background, and I just leave them in because it doesn't have to be perfect, but the message does have to be sent to you with love and with kingdom principles. And because that is being done and because the Holy Spirit is here, it can't be anything but wonderful and great and impactful to your life. And once again, may I encourage you, if you know someone is going through something, just copy and send this to them. Once you have done your part, they choose to listen to it or not, that is on them. But if you feel the Holy Spirit is telling you to send this to someone, send it to 3 people. Once you have sent it, if they get offended, that's not on you. If they say thank you, then they get blessed and you get blessed. But because you send it, you will get blessed. You are obeying the Father and you're doing kingdom work. So you don't have to be the one physically always talking to people about God. Sometimes you just send them something that has blessed you and the Holy Spirit can do the rest. You must memorize the decrees of your kingdom. You have to know how your kingdom works. When something goes wrong, you have to be able, instead of speaking curse words and getting angry, speak a scripture. Just like you know the words to your favorite song without thinking about it, that's how well you need to know scripture. So they introduce life and light, and they lift you up, and they give you true power into your atmosphere. You saturate your atmosphere with God. And his word is Jesus. So you speak Jesus into the situation and you've already won. You might not see the victory right away, but you keep doing it and eventually you will begin to see how much quicker it turns around. So when you first start, you might not see a victory until 6 months to a year later. But you keep doing it, and then all of a sudden you see the victories and the responses and the things changing, the things that change within you. So then they start to change in 3 months, and then they start to change monthly, and then it starts to change every 2 or 3 weeks. And all of a sudden, like I'm living now, the answers are coming sometimes before I even ask for it. And sometimes it's just coming a few weeks after, but however it comes, his kingdom come, his will be done. It's his will. All right. So we are the ecclesia, the called out ones. Before you do anything outside of yourself, you have to be that essence first. So I wouldn't hire a hoarder to clean out my tool shed, let alone my house. Men go to barbers who have clean and even and sharp lines and smooth fades and stylish attire, and their barbershop better be clean, and also their clientele should be classy, not brash, classless men who all they can do is complain and bash other people, other races, or the opposite sex, or complain about the government or poverty. Your barber should also not be a witch or a warlock, since they collect your hair. And if you don't know, you need to ask the Holy Spirit, and he will let you know. And if you don't know, like I keep saying, keep asking and he'll let you know. But also keep cleaning up who you are, so when the mail comes the mail, which is the information from the spirit realm to you, your house is not all cluttered like a hoarder's, like a hoarder's house. Okay, so how do you tell when you get mail if your whole house is stacked from top to bottom of old newspapers? You don't know. It just all looks like garbage. Start cleaning the inside out. Make it your temple, a place where the Holy Spirit wants to dwell and send answers to. Come out from amongst them. A vagrant cannot wash your clothes. A family member who hates you or owes you money cannot work it off for you. You let someone who owes you money watch your children? Do not do that. Just don't. Let them keep the money. Even if you have a nanny cam, don't do it. Don't do it. You cannot undo what's done, even if it's on a nanny cam. That satanic ritual abuse is very hard to get out. Just it's better to not do something than to have to undo it. We're here for power, light, and life. The words that we speak is a vehicle. When we speak God's word, Psalm 91, Psalm 35, the imprecatory Psalms, some of the things from Psalm 89, it says, well, he will break the teeth of our enemy in their mouth, and he will, you know, destroy our enemies right in front of our face. You begin to memorize those things. You begin to speak the condition that you are allow around you by speaking God's word, memorizing it and speaking it. Luke 10:19 is a great place to start. Then once you speak those things, angel armies ride on those sound waves, and you create a bridge. You create a road. It's not a high road. It is a God's word road. And there is nothing higher than God's word, because God's word is Jesus. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That's Jesus. So, and it also says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 in the King James, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. It says it a little clearer in the Passion Translation. It says, for the Lord himself will appear with the declaration of victory. He's the victor, right? He's the victor. We just said that. At the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. He's a victory. So if he himself will appear with the declaration of victory, with the declaration of his word, then speak his word. And we no longer allow shenanigans to go on around us. So the principle of this episode is obedience. Obedience is the bridge that grace walks on. So you speak God's word. And that's the principle that he rides on to change everything that needs to be changed. And you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, and you do it in different ways. You sing hymns, you praise him, you worship him, you praise dance, you give thanksgiving, you exalt his name, you glorify him. Obedience is doing what the word says to do, not what the world tells you to do. Doing what the world tells you to do will get you more and more trapped up and tied up in the world's way. And the wages of sin are death. And the world can only offer you what it has, which is more death. So the weapon is your treasure is in your heart. You get more word in you, and the word begins to write on your heart and change. Take the stones that are on there off and begin to place them with the word of God, and then you begin to change. You're not angry, you're not bitter. You begin to be a tool of love that your Father can now use. You begin to see things change in your life, but you do it and you keep doing it until you see change. You've been doing it the other way too long, and in the words of Dr. Phil, how's that working for you? It's not. So, beloved, we're going to stay tuned to the rhythm of heaven. And I will see you next week. Shalom, shalom.
If you say you love Jesus, roll with him now. All the shots in the world ain't gone down his crown. He put the power in your hands, power in your words. It's dominated with the greatest Lord, praise him first. We are soldiers of Jesus. Huh.